Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, on this show, you may need a pen and paper, or you might want to take notes in some other way. Maybe it's with your fingers on your cell phone, whatever it is that you're listening from. Because today we are going to give you survival tips. Why? Why am I talking about a show like this? Well, I believe that there is a good possibility that war is looming in Israel. I will tell you why on the show, and we will also give you tips. In any case, whether there is a war in the future or not, remember, Israel lives in a very hostile neighborhood, and the United States, they've got enemies, Europe's got enemies inside of them, etc., etc. You never know when you're going to need to be prepared. And once something happens, it's already too late, so you've got to be prepared now. Also, I just wanted to say again, even if nothing happens, and please God, nothing should happen, everything should go in a positive way, winter's coming. And many times in winter, you have storms and power is cut. Sometimes you're left without power for several hours, even several days. And if you're in a place where there are hurricanes or other major natural catastrophes happening, it could be even weeks. So how do you survive with your family, and how do you do it in a most in the most comfortable manner possible? We're going to be having on a prepper, a doomsday prepper, as they say, who's going to be sharing his tips with us, how the average person, because I'm not a prepper, but I like to have at least 2 days of being able to survive if something happens, to survive comfortably enough. Remember, also, if you have no power in many places, that means no water. If you're in an apartment building or something, how do you flush your toilets? How do you, if you have a little baby and you need to wash your baby, how do you get by? So we're going to be learning all of these tips. Get out a pen and paper, and you're going to want to write these things down and be even a little bit prepared if you can. I want to say hi to everybody who's listening in from all over the world, United States, Australia, Israel, Argentina, Canada, Norway, etc., etc. Great to see you here. Call into the show if you have any questions. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the Phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
So this show is for all of you, wherever you are in this world. If it's not a natural disaster, if it's not a strong storm, if it's not even war looming or already in your area, you're going to need survival tips in order to get through this as safely and as comfortably as possible. It's funny because as I was talking in the introduction to this show and talking to you about that we'll need these things even for natural disasters, right after I get off the air, Fox News comes on and starts talking about Hurricane Michael that is approaching the United States and telling people to get out, to be safe. You can always replace a home, but you can't rebuild your lives so easily. So listen to this show. This is not in order to scare you or frighten you. This show is in order to empower you, to make you ready, if anything comes your way, to be able to have you and your family sail through this much easier and much more comfortably. So survival tips, war is looming, winter is coming, how to prepare for both. And I want to say here that I wrote a letter to the email list of my community and also posted up on our WhatsApp group as well, that people in my community should start getting ready and prepping for the winter, any power outages that come, or God forbid, if we're surrounded by Arabs that are attacking us, or Israel finds itself in a war and items are scarce on the grocery shelves, etc., medicines are scarce. We need to be prepared as best we can. I'm going to read you the letter that I wrote, and it may not sound exactly so smooth for this show, but I think you'll get the gist. And then afterwards, we're going to be having on a survival expert, a doomsday prepper, as they say, who's going to come on and share his tips with us as well. So I wrote this letter to my community, and it says thus: Shalom all. In the past 24 hours after Bibi's speech at the United Nations a couple of days ago, and I wrote this, by the way, around a week ago, there has been talk of a possible major conflict with attacks on Israel from the south with the Hamas, from the north with the Hezbollah, and even in the Yesha area, Judea and Samaria, with calls from Arabs to attack and riot in Yehuda Vishamron, in the Judea and Samarian region. And just as the Arabs are trying to breach the security fence from Gaza in the south into Jewish populated areas, that's what they want the Arabs now to do in Judea and Samaria. Just doing a general Google search this morning, I wrote everyone, and I plugged in just two words, the words war and Israel. If you do it now, feel free to do it. Go plug in the words war, Israel in your Google and see what you come up with. In just the last past 10 hours, I saw posts such as these. Now, you're not going to get the same results, folks, because I did this a little over a week ago. But listen to these headlines that were in just the past 10 hours. Israel believes Hamas is gearing up for war as Gaza crisis deepens. And here's another one. Emboldened by civil war gains, Syria says it will recapture Golan too. It's going to try to capture the Golan from Israel. Here's another one. Is Israel's military honeymoon with Russia in Syria over? And I have more that I just did this morning, which I will read you now. I just did a search for Israel and war, or war in Israel. And this is what I found. Is Hamas sending a message to Israel? It's ready for war. This was just 5 days ago written. IDF, Hamas, one miscalculation away from another Gaza war. That's from the Jerusalem Post from October 4th. Israel believes Hamas is gearing up for war as Gaza crisis deepens. That's from the Haaretz from September 29th. Also, we're talking about around a week or two ago. And here's another one. Israel's war readiness, prepped as never before. That's from the Al-Jamayner only 13 hours ago as of Tuesday morning Israel time. And then, as I said, I get off the air, Fox News comes on and starts talking about the need for people in the U.S. on the East Coast there near Florida to prepare for Hurricane Michael. So all of these tips I'm going to be giving you again are good for any type of emergency situation, whether war, attacks, or natural disasters. Let me go back to my letter here. It says here, I'm not saying, this is a letter I wrote to my community, that there's going to be a war. I'm not saying that. But I'm just presenting to you what is happening in the news. In addition, listen to this, folks, especially if you're in Israel. In addition, about 48 hours ago, I saw a commercial on television from the Chevrat Chashmal. The Chevrat Chashmal, for anyone who doesn't know, is the Israel's electric company. And they had a commercial on television as a public service announcement. It was presented as a cute little cartoon animated type of public service announcement, basically saying that if there happens to be a prolonged power outage, and I'm asking, why would that be? It was still very, very warm in Israel at that time. Not too warm that everyone's using their air conditioners and then we're expecting a power outage. But they're talking about a prolonged power outage. So remember, you're watching a little cartoon commercial and there's this little ditzy music behind it. To make it very cute. And they're saying, if there happens to be a prolonged power outage, and if there are people living in your home on electrical, medical equipment, etc., etc., take them to the hospital where they can, supposedly, get care. When I'm watching this, and they went on to say other things, if there's a prolonged power outage, this is what else you should do and what else you should do. And they suggest that if you have a dire need for a life and death situation to have electricity in your home, to perhaps think about going out to get a generator. Well, I look at my husband who was in the room with me. He looks at me and we both say at the same time, they're getting us ready for war. We're expecting a war. That was my conclusion from this. Why this commercial on television about prolonged power outage, if not that they're expecting a war? That's my conclusion. I could be wrong. It could be a miscalculation of mine. However, I will take that as a sign that whatever reason, whether it's natural disaster or not, or war or not, we need to be ready. The point is, we have been through snowstorms in our community. I'm going back to my letter. When electricity went out, it went out, by the way, for around 36 hours, and it was over the Shabbat part of it. It was just before Shabbat and afterwards. And it says here, my letter says here, we've been through snowstorms when electricity went out. We have gone through times here in the community before when our water supply was cut off, and these outages seriously handicapped us. Most of us were not prepared when it happened. When the power went out, or when we did not have water flowing through our pipes, residents did not have heat, water to flush toilets, water to wash babies with, needed medicines on hand, etc. Also, people with CPAP machines, if you're sleeping with a CPAP machine, they're going to need electricity to run their machines at night when sleeping, as sleep apnea can be life-threatening. This email is not meant to frighten anyone. It is to empower everyone here to get prepared. Once something like a power outage happens, or water is cut off, or roads to Jerusalem are cut off because of Arabs rioting, if we are not already prepared, it's already too late. It's our responsibility as adults, as parents of babies and young children, and even as children taking care of our elderly parents, to prepare now. Once something happens, it's already too late. Don't rely on your neighbors. Your neighbors have their own families that they have to provide for. Or maybe they were also caught off guard and will be in the same desperate situation that you are in, unprepared and without needed items. So I'm going to repost here below some things that I previously posted some time ago on this subject and hope it will help all of us to prepare. If anyone else has additional information or helpful experiences to share, please feel free to share your constructive suggestions. And may we know no more war or attacks on Israel and the Jewish people. And may we be wise and be prepared for all emergency situations, whether natural disasters or, God forbid, attacks. We are strong and we have an umbrella of love protecting the Jewish people here in Israel. So many attacks we've been under, and yet, thank God, we've been able to survive them all with God's love. But we must do our part in this world as well. And then I give an emergency list, which I will save for the next segment with our prepper expert. And I want you to call in if you have any comments, suggestions, or questions of your own. Here's your chance to ask a doomsday prepper yourself. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be a very informative show. Make sure you have something to take notes with. We'll be right back.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we're talking about survival preparation, survival tips. War seems to be looming. Winter is coming. Right now, if you're listening on the East Coast of the United States, in the Florida area, Hurricane Michael is coming for you. And you're going to want to have tips wherever you are in the world in case of, God forbid, an emergency, whether a natural disaster or a, God forbid, attack or war or etc. So our next guest we're having on is Josh Wander. Josh received his bachelor's degree in Talmudic law from a prestigious rabbinical college in Jerusalem. He then served as a commander in the IDF as an officer in the United States Air Force Auxiliary. And before graduating from the University of Pittsburgh, he received a master's degree in public and international affairs. He also served as an advisor in the Israeli Parliament, or Knesset, and in the Central Committee. He was a Central Committee man for the Jewish Home Party, and he served as the online content editor and political correspondent for the Jerusalem Post. Josh Wander has been assigned and loyally served in global hotspots, including Iraq, Lebanon, Haiti, Northern Ireland, and, of course, Israel. He is the commander of the Jewish War Veterans in Israel. He's a certified NRA instructor and a range safety officer. And he founded Jewish Preppers and has been featured in the National Geographic series Doomsday Preppers. Josh is married with 6 children, God bless him, and lives on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. He is a public relations consultant and expert in Israel advocacy. I think that pretty much describes what an expert he is and how he can help all of us here prepare for any emergency. So welcome to the show, Josh Wander.
Thank you, Tamar. Thank you for having me.
All right. So you were a Jewish prepper when you were already living in the United States, a doomsday prepper, I should say. Now you are living here in Israel, and I'm assuming you are well prepared, or at least have the knowledge what to do in case of an emergency so your family can survive this as comfortably as possible?
Well, yes, I was a prepper before it became the in thing to do. Over the years, it's become more and more popular, especially in the United States, this concept of preparedness. I don't call myself a doomsday prepper. That was the name National Geographic gave to their show. We actually opposed that name because it's a little bit sensationalizing the whole thing. We don't necessarily believe in a doomsday, but we do believe it's very important to be prepared.
Okay, so maybe you can give us a list of what the basic items we need in order to be able to survive power outages or just being cooped up in our homes, whatever.
Well, I think you said it best a minute ago when you said that at least you know what to do, because the first thing you need are the knowledge and the skills to be able to survive. A lot of people that start to get involved in preparedness and it becomes a way of life, and then it starts to take over their entire life, and they start going out. The first thing, it's very common for newbies that get into this to go to the stores and or go online and start buying all sorts of different things. And there's tons of stuff out there today that you can buy. But really, all this equipment that you can buy is not going to you gave an example of a generator offline. You know, if somebody goes and purchases a generator but doesn't have the gasoline to fuel it or the knowledge of how to work it, then the generator is just a big hunk of metal. It doesn't really do anything. So, you know, today there's so much information in books that you can get in the library. There's online information on YouTube. I mean, of course, you have to know that's reliable information, but there's so much information out there to be gotten. The first thing that people speak about, one of the first lessons that you learn in preparedness is the rule of threes. Basically, it's a basic outline of how long one can survive. 3 minutes, one can survive without air, without the proper oxygen. 3 hours without the proper shelter, assuming that you're in a place that's of extreme heat or cold. 3 days without water and 3 weeks without food. So the first thing that anybody who wants to be prepared is to prepare those things, because you want to make sure that you have, if you're in an area, again, this all depends on which area you're in. If you're in the United States, you're in the Middle East, you're in Asia, Africa, you have to adapt according to where you are, what type of natural disasters you're going to be looking for, whether they be earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and adapt accordingly. So you want to make sure that you have clean air. And that's the first thing. If you need to have a gas mask, if you're worried about a chemical or biological attack, those are things that you might want to consider. Shelter is essential. Having the proper shelter, again, depending on which environment you're in, you can properly adapt shelter. Water is essential. You know, it's interesting here in Israel, a lot of people that come here, they think that the Arabs have black, what they call dudei shemesh, solar water heaters, and the Jews have the white ones. And I always explain to them that that is inaccurate, that the Arabs have the same white solar panel heaters for their water that the Jews have. The only difference is that the Arabs, in addition to their white dudei shemesh, they also have a big black water containment system, a water storage system. And this dates back to before 1948, before the modern state of Israel, when the Jordanians occupied this area for 19 years, and before them, the Ottoman Turks. During that time, the governments, for whatever reasons, were shut off their water, and they wanted to have water stored just in case. And that's a great idea. I think that everybody, the Jews, should also adapt that, because it's really important to have that extra water in case of an emergency. Food, of course, there are all different types of food out there. When we're talking food, we're talking long-term food storage. So foods that can last, you know, not that you could put in the refrigerator are going to spoil as soon as electricity goes out, but foods that could be freeze-dried, that could be powdered foods, they could be all sorts of foods that will last for weeks, months, or even years.
So foods, give us an idea, like what? Baked beans, corn, dried rice in sealed containers, what?
So tuna. So the first two things, those three things that you mentioned are canned foods. So canned foods, I would not keep for more than a year, because in a can, they will eventually spoil.
But then you can rotate them, right? Can't you just rotate them?
You can definitely rotate them, and people that are able to do that, it's worthwhile to do that. But again, you're talking about a year. It depends. It really goes back to how long you expect. Again, what environment you're in and how long you expect the disaster to occur. Like if you're talking about a first world country, and you expect that the system will be up and running within a matter of days or weeks at most. You know, when you're talking about Katrina, even in the United States, you were talking about a matter of months. But things, you know, most things are not going to last for an entire year. In other places, even in Puerto Rico today, they're still having issues from the hurricane of last year. But definitely, if you're in a third world country like Haiti, it can last many years after a major disaster.
So what should the average person prepare for, Josh? A two-day problem, a three-day problem, what?
Again, that would all depend on the environment you're in. But I would recommend at least, and this is what the experts recommend, at least 72-hour kits to start with to make sure you're prepared for at least a few days. And then work on that. After you have your three-day kit, you can work on things that go on to weeks and then months if necessary. It also depends on space because, you know, some place, I'm coming from the United States, having a three-story house, a basement, an attic, we have plenty of room to store stuff in. If you're in Israel and you're in a small apartment, you don't have all that room to store stuff in. So you have to change your strategy a little bit. What's interesting is the Mormons are actually experts on this. The Mormons have been doing this for many, many years. And the Mormons, interestingly enough, not only believe in having a long-term storage, food storage, but they also are missionaries. So they go around the world, and often they find themselves in small apartments in Eastern Europe or wherever they may be, and they still want to have this year's worth of food storage in this tiny apartment. So they have managed to find ways of actually making furniture. You can look this up online. Now, furniture out of canned goods, like tables and beds.
That would be hard to rotate.
No, but so some things don't need rotation. That's what I was about to say. So things that are in liquid, like you mentioned earlier, definitely have to be rotated. But if you're talking about, for example, canned rice or grains, those things can last for many, many years. In fact, they have found wheat stocks inside of the pyramids that you're talking about, wheat that is thousands of years old, and it still was sprouting thousands of years later.
Really?
So there are some things that can last, like honey. There are things that just last forever if they're kept in the proper environment.
Fascinating. All right. So we are going to be going to a break in about another 60 seconds. When we get back, I'm going to have Josh give us a practical list, like flashlights, batteries, all the things that we need, emergency radios, et cetera, et cetera. I will help out as well because I have a few items that I've posted on my community list of what people need, at least just for a couple of days to be able to get through a storm easily or any type of emergency. So if you have any comments or questions, feel free to call in yourself as well. This is the time you can speak with an expert prepper, and he will give you his ideas and his tips on how to most comfortably get through any type of emergency. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. Give us a call if you have any comments or questions. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we are speaking with Josh Wander. He is a prepper. He is a expert in survival tips, and we want to be able to give that information to you. If you have a pencil and paper, or pen and paper, or you want to just type it out on your phone or whatever, take notes now. This will help you be able to get through any type of emergency, whether it's war, God forbid, or natural disaster, in the most comfortable and safe way possible. And I'm going to be talking here very short term now. We're talking just about a couple of days worth, maybe a week tops, in order to get our families through these difficult times. So welcome back to the show, Josh Wander.
Thanks, Tamar. Thanks for having me.
All right. So items to have on hand. What do we need?
Okay. I before I get to the specifics, I just wanted to mention a few more generalizations, and they're really, really important. And that is people that have medical conditions, It's really, really important. That's why it's hard to, it's hard to get specific, because each person is in a different environment and has different personal situations. But people that have medical conditions really have to be aware that in a grid down, what we call a grid down situation, in a time when whether there's a natural disaster or war, there may not be a pharmacy to go to get your medications. So it's really, really important to be able to stock up on your medications. I would ask that everybody, whoever has these conditions, speak to their physicians about this, because some medications, or their pharmacists, some medications can last very, very long term. And even somebody who doesn't have a medical condition but wants to prepare, this is one of the things we prepare for, is medical, which includes having long-term, for example, long-term antibiotics, on, you know, dry antibiotics that can last for many years, even if it's after the expiration date. Again, I would advise that anybody that wants to discuss this should discuss it with their pharmacist or with their physician. But it has to be very, very aware that they're, and they are bound by medications, they have to be very aware that there might be a situation where they're not going to be getting their insulin. Insulin cannot be kept long-term. And for that, there are books about how one can naturally try to regulate that. And again, each person according to their situation. Another thing that is communication, which is really, really essential in cases of a grid-down situation. To be able to communicate with your community, to be able to communicate with the world, to get information and to give information is essential. For that, I highly recommend, wherever you are, to get what is known as a ham radio and to get licensed. Most countries require licensing for this. It's not a big deal. It sounds like a big deal, but it really isn't. And some people think this is antiquated. And today we have modern cell phones, we have iPhones and Androids, and there's no reason for us. Most wouldn't even know what an amateur radio is. But ham radio is basically going back to old school radios, which even in a grid down situation when you don't have electricity, you don't have a cell phone tower, you don't have the working phones, you can still communicate with the world. And this is really, really important. People that have a few extra hours to study, very easy test to go through for the licensing.
Josh, we only have like 8 minutes left, and I really want to go through this list. And I think that a ham radio is really for, it's a wonderful thing to have. You're absolutely right. But I want to give out things that most people are going to be able to deal with. So I would just like to add to that, that there are these emergency, I think they're called Baygen radios, B-A-Y-G-E-N, if I'm not mistaken. You can find them on Amazon, on eBay, etc. And they have new ones now, because I had one from before. But they have new ones now that can charge cell phones if you hand crank them or you put it with solar energy. So that's a really good thing to have. And I want to say, in the last snowstorm, that we had, when we had a power outage, when it wasn't Shabbat, I was able to put on my radio. So even though I couldn't communicate with people, I could at least hear what was going on, and it made me feel more comfortable having some type of outside noise rather than just the silence you usually have in a power outage. But let's get back to the list, because we only have now about seven minutes. Go ahead.
If I could just mention one more thing, is yes. Really, really essential, and that is security. Again, depending on where you're located, you want to be prepared for security, especially if you're prepared with all the other things. Be aware that if you have all the preparations and you have your food and your water and your medications and your communications and everything, security is essential, because there could be people that out there that are bad people. There are bad people in every environment, and they may want to come and take your stuff.
Right.
Or so you want to be prepared security-wise. Again, depending on the environment you are. In the United States, of course, you have a Second Amendment, which allows you to own firearms. In other locations, you may or may not need to be licensed for that. And again, I would, according to whatever the local laws are, I would be prepared as far as security is concerned.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, Tamar.
All right. So now, flashlights, we need them?
Flashlights are definitely important. Again, whether
batteries,
they're long-term.
Let's just go through the list. We don't have time. Flashlights,
right.
So batteries.
Flashlights are, you're talking about short-term.
Yes.
Short term.
Yes.
Unless you're talking about a flashlight that it works on a crank, which you use for a longer term. But otherwise, the batteries are going to eventually run out, and you're not going to have a flashlight. Yes. Sorry. Next.
Okay. Lighting. We have emergency lights in Israel. They're probably all around the world as well. You keep them plugged in. If electricity goes out, they automatically come on. Those are very good. But in case that wears out after a few hours and you're going to be without power for a longer time. So I found that instead of lighting candles, which are very dangerous, by the way, if they get knocked over by a kid. And also, I remember trying to read at my table after we have our meal on Shabbat, let's say, or any time we're eating bread and we have to say the benching or the after the blessing we say after eating bread. It's very hard to read out of those benchers by just candlelight. So lanterns are very good. You can make them higher, lower, and they can also be fueled by regular cooking oil. If you have the right type of lantern, you can also get different type of lanterns that have special fuel that goes with it, etc. But I like the ones that you can refill yourself with oil. Would you agree? Disagree?
Just to say that you have to speak to your local Orthodox rabbi about whether or not you can do that on Shabbat or not.
Oh, but no, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would agree that that's important. It's interesting because I always mention to people that Jews are actually of the best preppers. They don't realize it. But first of all, we have a history of wandering from land to land and always being prepared to move on somewhere else. But we have all of our holidays, including Shabbat, where we prepare every single week. We basically are in a grid down situation where we don't have electricity. So we're preparing.
Okay.
You know, we have different holidays like Sukkot where we go out into a shelter. I can go on about this. I know we don't have time.
Josh, right.
Jews
okay.
are best prepared.
And I want to say here, I did not mean to play with your lantern on Shabbat. God forbid. Okay. So lanterns are very good, better than that. Emergency radio, which has solar or hand crank powered ability with, of course, batteries. Siren sounds with it as well. God forbid. There's an earthquake, and let's say you have the radio in your hand, you can put a siren on so people can find you easier.
Earthquakes, one of the most important thing to know is to get out of the building.
Right.
Most people don't realize that. You need to leave the building immediately because the biggest danger in an earthquake are the falling structures.
Right. So you want to be in an open space if possible. You also, they have ones today, again, get with a cell phone charger, these powered radios that don't only run on electricity. Let's talk about water. If you have a baby in the home, you need to wash the baby. You want to use water. You need to flush your toilets. You can use old laundry bottles and softener bottles to fill up with water, even your bathtub. If you know there's going to be some type of freezing taking place where your pipes can be burst, you need to flush your toilets. You want to have water that is not drinkable that you can just put into your toilet tank and flush as well. What else do we need, Josh?
Sewage is a whole different discussion. Again, it's a longer discussion, but feminine hygiene, all these things in a long-term situation are something that should be thought about. Again, you can look this up. I would highly recommend, by the way, a fictional book that's called One Second After.
Yes.
It's written by have you read it?
Yes.
It's written by someone named William
Forsten. William Forsten.
And even though it's fictional, it shows how everything is intertwined today in today's modern world, and everything cascades. So in an emergency where you have a grid down situation, there's not going to be anything. In fact, this is based on some real things because Congress has, the United States
Josh,
Congress
we're
has shown.
Josh, we're going to stick to the list right now. A bug okay. out bag. What is that?
Bug out bag is very important. It's basically having a mobile bag that you're able to take your emergency essentials, put it into, have it in one bag so that if you have to run out and you have to go somewhere else, move locations, you'll have it ready to go.
Okay. And you're going to want to put documents in there as well, and like your birth certificates, passports, things like that, and put them in Ziploc bags in case anything spills on it, whatever, they are protected. Because if you're in a flood also and trying to run out, you want to have these documents with you and you don't want them to be destroyed by anything. If you have a baby, diaper wipes, you want to get alcohol hand gel in case water runs out and you need to keep clean. Disease is a very big thing for prolonged water outages. Also for your toilets, somebody wrote me and suggested that if you don't have water for your toilets and you're in a prolonged situation, to put a plastic bag over the toilet and to go in the bag, and then you can just tie it up and dispose of it, which was, I thought, was a very interesting idea. You want to have diaper wipes, again, as I said, spare diapers if you have a child, medicine. We're going to have to do another show on this. Josh.
Yes, there's a lot to discuss.
A
Needless
lot.
To say, there's a lot.
Josh, where can people contact you?
Okay, so the best way is on Facebook, Joshua Wander, Joshuawander. I have a personal page as well as a
You have 30 seconds, Josh.
Page. Yes, no, that's the best way to contact me. You can write to me if you have any questions. I'm located in Israel. I do speaking tours in the United States, so I'm in both places. I go back and forth, and I'm happy to help anyone else that has a specific question. Again, it all depends on your environment. It's really important to get the skills and knowledge, so I recommend that everybody starts learning and having it not only online, but I'm printed out. I was at 9/11.
I was
in New York, yeah, and I just want to say that we didn't have any phones or communications, no cell phones, and it was really, really important to be able to communicate. So,
amen.
Please.
We'll do another show. Josh Wander, thank you so much for coming on. People, be
thank
prepared
you.
For any type of emergency. You are going to want to weather the storm as comfortably as possible. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.